Does anybody out there understand why we presented abiding last week in terms of abiding ones and the manuscript? If I said that we did it to shut up your yeah buts, does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, it does.
Isn't that foolishness? If you have yeah buts, shouldn't you have yeah buts no matter how it's presented?
Oh, I see what you're saying. That's funny.
Or otherwise, your yeah buts are not valid. If your yeah buts depend on how it's presented, they're not valid.
Uh-huh.
Okay. If you are not your body, then supposedly you are the self in the body. Or
yes.
Spirit, I don't care, whichever you want to call it. What is self? Is it a spirit? And if so, what is that? You always say, no, I'm not my body, then I must be myself. The self in the body, then what is that self in the body?
That self in the body is an identity that has sprung forth from the DNA that
is it an entity
creates the self
with an identity.
Sorry?
Is it an entity with an identity?
That's the way I have probably always thought of it. Now I'd have to rethink that. It's interesting or odd for me to think an identity that is not in and of itself an entity. An identity that is not an entity. But maybe it is. Maybe an identity has some sense of independence.
What is it for you?
Maybe it is a condition. A condition of a loner body that is not limited to or confined by the loner body.
If it's a condition of the loner body, you are making it a thing, are you not?
I am.
Is self a thing? Can we talk about self in a completely new and different way? And what will
Let's
it take?
Do that.
What will it take for me to be able to do that?
Well, I guess acknowledging how we normally talk about self, so that I can be aware that we're not talking about it that way.
Okay, no matter what you think of it is, we're not talking about it in that way. No matter what you think.
Okay. All right.
The whole idea is to put your preconceptions aside and follow.
I know. I've noticed, Misty, and I was just talking to Roger about this a few minutes ago, there is a tendency I have to mix pieces and parts, and I forget, and I get all bollocksed up, so I'm going to try to not mix anything I think into what we're saying, just going to follow. Okay, I'm just going to follow.
Well, the reason I bring this up is because in August, I was writing a bunch of stuff about self from a different perspective. And that's when I got sick. So I changed the perspective of that I was writing self, and then I had a stroke. So apparently I was unsatisfied with what I was writing the way I was writing it. And I think the reason I was is because I think I was writing it to accommodate you guys. And I don't want to do that anymore, at all, ever.
Okay.
You accommodate what I'm saying. You listen and accommodate what I'm saying. I'm not going to change it to accommodate you. Is that okay?
That's great.
Yeah.
Except that every time we have a conversation other than Monday night, we're having a confrontation all the time. And that's what ticks me off. Because you don't pay any attention to how I'm using self or saying self in this condition. If I'm wrong, what I'm saying, it'll work out to be blatantly wrong. If I'm not wrong, it'll all work out in a whole of everything I've said.
Okay.
But you don't do it. You want to argue every step. And though I changed gears again, I'm back fighting the lion again. For instance, here is a problem. How do I speak of self like soul? I spoke of soul last week, and somebody took me to task. I describe soul as eternal identity, and I've been taken to task since then for that. How can we get over that hump? Because I'm going to discuss self in a wholly different way. Just because you've always heard soul as being the immortal aspect of yourself, your eternal aspect of yourself, and I call it an identity, which really doesn't conflict with that description, but you don't want to treat it as an identity. You want to treat it as a thing or aspect of yourself that has always lived and will always live immortally. I can't deal with that. I can't talk with that because you won't get off of those. This is the way you want soul to be described. Then I can't present anything new and different. And your life is just happy dappy the way it is, right? You have a sense of seeing and hearing, a sense of taste and smell, and a sense of touch. But greater than these is your sense of self. Can you treat self as a sense, not as a sense of self? Not as a sensing of self.
Oh, that's interesting.
You have a sense of seeing. Can I say a sense of self without having to say a sense of selfing? If this is true, and I declare that it is, don't you understand that your sense of self, and knowing that, how important it is, because it trumps all of your other five senses. And it is, in fact, while everybody says you get 90% of your information from what you see, I'll say you get 99% of your information from your sense of self. How do I speak of self or in this way, or sense of self in this way, that you don't bastardize that right back to a your sensing self? I've spent days looking for the right way to express that, unsuccessfully.
did you say before that the sense of self is in addition to the other senses we have?
I say it trumps all the other senses. It's more important. The sense of self is more important than anything you see or sense hearing or tasting or smelling or touching. Is anybody, you all have heard of the book Cosmic Consciousness?
I might have heard of it.
Yes, I did.
It was written in 1901 by a Canadian doctor, Maurice Burke.
Okay.
I have problems with the title Cosmic Consciousness. Doesn't the title Cosmic Consciousness also imply that the universe is conscious at a cosmic level?
Or it infers God.
That too. But see, that was all right with Burke because he believed in God and spiritual awareness and transcending. How can I speak of a sense of self when everything you've ever heard is about transcending self and transcending self-consciousness? Because the self-consciousness in that limits you. Now I want to turn that around and say, no, it is your most important sense you have. How can we get past that without you throwing that stuff back at me?
Can I ask you to go backwards a little bit? You're suggesting in this discussion then that just as I have a sense of sight, I have a sense of self. Not a self to be sensed, but a sense of self.
That's right.
Did I hear that correctly?
Yes.
Okay.
And how can I talk about that without you always and constantly interpreting that as sensing self or sensing a self-image or something of that nature? What word can I use? I can describe it like I can say, all things are random, and I define that random as meaning not intentional. But you don't accept that. If I use the word random without saying the whole damn paragraph, you think random in terms of chaos or accidental or meaningless. And I'm meaning it only as not intentional. You remember a few weeks ago I said, if we can't understand and agree on some of these things, we can't go on. Or I won't go on. For instance, if we can't start as in somehow or other, this is not a continuing being, self, this is your first and only life. And we can't start with that premise as a beginning. We can't discuss anything because you bring in all the other stuff that religion has imposed out there and that you have believed from the get-go. And especially if you're living a loner self, you believe all this religious stuff because that's the only thing the loner self has to work with.
Or if you were raised Catholic.
Huh?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't hear what you said.
I said, or if you were raised Catholic.
It doesn't make a difference whether it's Catholics or not.
Well, they're pretty strong on a lot of that stuff.
That's right.
Yeah.
But if we can't begin, I couldn't send, if we can't start from, this is your first and only life, then you will always bring into some immortal past self that has continued. And I will throw back karma, and then we're dealing with karma and judgments. If there is no past life, there is no karma. And I can't say to you then you're just living your memories. There are no memories if there is no past life. If there is no past life, there is no beginning. And when I start talking about abiding, I define abiding for very specific reasons. I want you to think of abiding in a certain way and put that into a context. But what you do is you maintain your religion. As a loner being, you maintain your religious context. And yeah, but everything I say, I don't want to continue in that way. Because it seems like we don't have a common language even to talk. But you won't even get off cause and effect. Because when I discussed emergent, everybody treats it only as emergently caused. Are you willing to get off of reaction? What's the reaction? Andrew, you want to take that on?
Action,
yeah, reaction. What is a reaction?
A reaction is something that occurs resultant to something prior. I assume you just mean any reaction, not like an emotional reaction.
It has to be an action prior.
Right.
Yes.
Can you change your whole concept of reaction to compliment?
I think I could. That for every action there is a compliment.
How are you using the term compliment?
Yes.
Compliment is defined as something that fills up or completes. Isn't fills up or completes more accurate than just reaction?
It's pretty much what's going on.
And that's what's going on. Action reaction completes. So we can say in that when the universe reacts to your action, it completes the action.
Compliments.
Well, completes the action. But what Isaac Newton treated it as, it is an equal and opposite reaction, creates an opposition.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Complement does not create an opposition. It works to complete.
I see.
Does that mean that the action itself is not complete?
In our language, the action is not complete. You know, I'm not really bitching and whining, although maybe I am bitching and whining just a little. I'm trying not to, but because it's bad for me to bitch and whine. But my problem is I don't want to go on continue talking about abiding in these ways and self in these ways, which then changes the whole picture of yourself and your relationship to the universe and even your relationship to you entirely. But as a loner being, you don't want to change your concepts. So okay, what I said is, that's what we're talking about, number 3 of 99. Here's a way that you can change your loner being to abiding being. Then we can talk about some of these things without your getting hung up that loner is the only true understanding. Why can't you get off? If I can't get you off of that, I don't want to continue. Because obviously I'm not too happy with that. I'm not saying that I'm right and you're wrong. I'm merely saying here is an entirely different way to look at that. And it fits within the complete picture I've been presenting. You can have no authority in your life with God there. He's the doer. He's the authority.
Right.
You cannot live as you desire. You cannot at all begin to live as you desire and have God. You can't say God lets you live as you desire. That's like saying God grants you free will, but you better not screw up. Because God judges you. God loves you, but he judges you to death. Besides, God is the authority, not you. You have no authority in your life with God there. So number one, yeah, I'm trying to get rid of God. We can't even talk about cosmic consciousness without just as it is. You went right there to cosmic consciousness. That's the consciousness of God. And so I can't even find a way to talk to you about self as a sense. Because if I talk to you about abiding self, you think of that and want that only to be a entity that has always existed and will always exist. If I talk to you about seeing, you don't translate that into an entity. But self, you won't leave alone, except put it as a separate individual entity. Such that I'm afraid to even talk about self in any way.
So, Raj, I have a question.
What?
As we're talking about this, I notice the structure of language there's a word that appears in my sentence, so I or you have a sense of self. And in my mind, I guess I create a picture of a you or an I with a sense of self. But I'm wondering if what you're talking about is, that's not at all correct.
Let's assume that that's not correct. You and I are selfing.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Like seeing or hearing. That's okay.
You don't go around saying, I have a sense of hearing, I have a sense of seeing.
You say, I see.
Correct.
Right.
Well, in the same way, you actually self.
Okay. So it sounds like there is a... Yeah. Sorry, I'm just going to say this. It sounds like there's a you, but not a self. Oh, wait. It sounds like there's a you.
No, you only comes from the pronoun of language.
All right.
It's the only way you can maintain the structure of language. Subject does something. So you have to start off with a subject. There has to be a something.
Right.
And anything you say after that maintains the subject as a doer, a thing doing.
And a thing that exists.
That exists.
Yeah. Separate thing doing. All right.
See, I went to the word abiding simply because your biggest struggle in life, whether you know it or not, is death. So, the problem is, anytime you have beginnings, whether you like it or not, language-wise, you infer endings. And so you're living in endings. The only way I could get rid of endings is to get rid of beginnings. Essentially in saying abiding, that abiding has no beginning or ending.
Right.
Okay, then that is itself that has had no beginning or ending. So it hasn't existed. Now you see, just use self in the old way. I would use spirit, except that the connotations of spirit are always that spirit and physical are in conflict.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to give you that idea that self and physical are in conflict. Your biggest twisting of the words is you'll do anything to twist anything I say around to mean that I'm justifying that you have an ongoing, everlasting spirit. And that's religion to the max. It puts the screws to you without you understanding it. So how can we get around this dilemma? And why is it that when I presented everything last week in terms of abiding ones, nobody yabbed at that? But if I had presented it just as a abiding, meaning and significant, you'd yab at it to death. Why is it that you did not I got no yab-buts about abiding ones. Why? You're the ones that didn't yab-but, so please tell me why. Why do you accept it, it seems, in the form of abiding ones, and you don't accept it if I just present the abidingness? Do I have to present it in terms of individuals who use the sense of self? What? If you're demanding it be these ideas be presented a certain way, please tell me now. Because I don't seem to understand. I get frustrated. I don't need any more of that.
Personally, I don't know that I'm demanding it be presented a certain way. I'm trying to follow, I guess.
Why didn't you yab at it?
Well, I don't know. I can't. I don't know. Like, I came in late enough last week that I don't know what I missed.
what everybody else heard last week. Speak up, everybody else. Why did you not yell at it and send me a dirty email?
It sounded like Misty was reading something, and so nobody was interrupting.
It doesn't make any difference. I didn't say you had to yap at it right then, but you haven't yap at it since. Normally, I get every yap at in the world.
What I don't know.
How do you want things, these ideas presented? If I give them to you as concepts, you question everything and try to bastardize everything I say as a concept to be and mean only the concept of as religion presents it. What was there about last week that you haven't bastardized that?
Has anybody talked about last week?
I'm asking. I didn't get any letters. I've had some conversations, yeah, sure.
Oh, okay.
I've had about 5 hours of conversations.
Well, you know, I don't know. Maybe it was somehow not threatening. And maybe a lot of the talk we've had over the last year or so has somehow seemed, you know, threatening. I mean, not that you're threatening us, just like, yikes.
She tried to change cause and effect to emergent is threatening? How does that threaten you?
No. I guess I'm speaking kind of specifically. I'm speaking specifically of this idea of not continuing or whatever.
What?
Well, I mean, maybe I'm going off track, so I should stop. I don't know what you guys were talking about last week.
You heard that she was reading about abiding beings and the manuscript.
Yes.
You heard all that.
Right. Okay, I heard that. So then,
why was that not threatening?
There's, you know, it just sounded like, hey, life going on, this is cool, that's neat, you get this, you do that. It sounded like a desirable way of life. You know, personally, I think a lot of the resistance I put up over the last year or so had to do with everything I did was loner, and that I wasn't, it didn't continue in any way, and I just had a hard time, I don't know, talking about that, or I didn't even like it, you know? And I didn't see anything else, so that was a lot of the I guess, pushback on my part.
All that is cleansing you from the past so we can move on. I don't know, it's like giving you a clean bath of hell. You're not.
I think I didn't understand that at the time. Yeah. I don't think I understood that.
Well, what does it take to get you to goddamn it understand it?
Well, like I said, I think now that we've gone a few steps past, and just as the conversation has continued, I've understood more about where you're coming from and why. And it sounds
why
like,
does
oh,
anything
okay
I
like
have
that.
To say threaten you? Let's start there. How can anything I say threaten you?
Well, it's what? It's more than, I don't know, like I said, I think because of the last, you know, period of time, I've realized that it's more now than just, hey, we're just playing what if, and these are ideas to, you know, think about, see if you like them, see if you want to put them into your life and go. It's, you know, this is the way it is, and we got to try it and live it, and maybe that was threatening, to think that I was going to live in a, you know, not live on or something. That was my main, yeah, that was my main, I guess, point of contention or concern, upset.
Well, let's assume you don't live on unless you do something.
Okay, right.
That's all I've said. You don't live on unless you do something. Why is that a threat? It makes living...
That's not. That's what I consider to be, oh, then the conversation continued, and it's like, now we started talking about something, and then what?
But religion should be the threat, because you don't live on unless you please God. How the hell do you know what to do that?
Yeah, like, you know, and like I said before, at least one thing that I had with religion was, one way or another, you were going to live on after this life. It may be a heavenly or a hellish existence, but there you were. There was some resting and comfort in that. That doesn't make it right, better, or anything. I'm just saying that's what it was. And I don't mean, I'm not in any way trying to argue for that position. I just...
Yeah, but then my question is, how can I say anything that you don't take as a threat? What could I say that doesn't threaten you? How could I say these things so that you don't feel threatened? Patrick, you want to get in on this?
Well, yeah, I got to just jump in here. I don't know. I can understand the difficulty of finding language that doesn't already have a lot of baggage attached to a word or a term, and that, and it's like, you know, I'm one of the people who took issue with the use of the term soul, and I, you know, that it was almost like, I'm going to use soul this way, and fuck you if you don't like it. I'm using it. And there's a confrontation and a threat right away.
There was no threat. You created the threat.
Where was there a threat?
Of course.
Yeah, well, I'm just trying to understand where there would be a threat in that.
That's what I'm asking.
Maybe it's an affront.
Because if you just say, this word I'm going to use this way, where is there a threat in that?
It is. It doesn't matter. It's a threat, apparently.
Well, I'm trying to understand that.
In every conversation.
I don't know. Am I just absolutely refusing to give up any of my pretty little stories, and that's it, doesn't matter, no matter what you say, I'm going to hang on to my pretty little stories, and there you go. I'm never going to understand them. And maybe that's the threat. I have these little stories that I've generated for myself, and I don't want to give them up, because I haven't seen anything yet that seems to be any better than my little stories.
But your stories don't work for you. None of your stories work for you.
You know, the prima facie evidence makes that clear. So I'd like to understand why it's so goddamn hard to get rid of them.
Or how you can possibly defend things that aren't working for you like that.
Yeah.
Well, you know, maybe it was just, you know, I just thinking here, so... As Pat says about the stories, you know, maybe what it was is, I was always, to me, the threat was just that in life, in the universe, I always had a sense that I was going to die. And so these little stories, that didn't work for me, gave me at least one thing, which was some idea of, some sense of there was something after my death.
Yeah, but I started right from the beginning discussing abiding. Meaning that then you have the authority to continue yourself or not. You don't have to try and please God in order to have everlasting life.
I got to say that as here we are, you know, weeks and months down the road, that makes a hell of a lot more sense to me than anything else I've ever heard.
Then why is that a threat?
Oh, well, I'm not saying that is now. At the time, I guess, with loner self, I didn't see anything else.
Yeah, but even if you agree with it right now, we've spent many hours in conversations where that issue was underlying everything you were saying. And you were challenging or threatening me.
I was threatening you.
You were trying to be the aggressor and say, this is true, this is so.
Well, I okay.
And defend what doesn't work for you. Even after you've acknowledged it doesn't work for you the way you want it, you still won't stop defending it.
I think I'll remind you here of something that Roger has said through the years. You have to know that if I take something away from you, I'm going to give it back somehow.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm. And you guys seem to forget that.
And yeah, as you say that, Misty, I know this has been presented a piece at a time. And I guess when we got to the piece where it was just looking at the body, looking at the DNA, and that was it, then that piece and nothing else is where I guess.
I put that piece in a complete context.
All I'm saying is that you need to have that mantra going in your head all the time. So that you won't be threatened by these different things that he presents, because you know that he's always going to give it back to you in some form or another.
Bigger and better.
Yeah, see, there you go. That right there. Bigger and better. There was a conversation you and I had one Sunday where you said something to the effect of, God damn it, you know, what I'm trying to show you is much more magnificent and much more expansive than anything you've ever seen before. And I said, really? Wow, that gets me interested. That I want to hear more of that. That I didn't know that.
But that's out there. What I'm trying to say is that's always there.
Yeah, somehow, and I agree, somehow I lost track of that. I got caught up in, gummed up in some stuff, yeah.
Yeah, I think we forget that. Yeah.
But
maybe
I don't want
to pace it around your house or something.
Obviously.
Yeah.
When it went from sickness to stroke, I don't want to continue this shit.
Yep. Understood.
And my opinion is that religion and language work together to destroy you.
Okay.
I would rather destroy religion and language than you. And you seem to want to maintain religion and language and let it destroy you. You don't really care. That doesn't make any sense to me.
I got it. So, Roger, I have a question for you personally. In all this, did you get to a point where you were just trying to, like, rub our nose in the beliefs that we had or something?
I gave that up a long time ago.
Yeah, but, I mean, confront us with what we absolutely didn't like and just leave it sit for a while. Give us nothing else.
That doesn't accomplish
anything.
Was that
kind of part of it?
Okay, the answer is no.
No.
Okay.
I'm always against that.
Okay.
It's never good enough to be against anything unless you can express what you're for.
Ah, so. Okay, yeah.
The Libertarian Party, and I've met a lot of libertarians and I've spent hours discussing libertarianism. And I just read a whole book on the Tea Party. Neither one of them. They'll tell you everything they're against, but won't tell you what they're for.
Oh, okay.
They'll tell you I'm for, not this, not that, not that other thing.
I got a question that you may or may not have considered. But why is it important that you feel that we understand any of this? What stands in the way of you just moving forward and laying it out? If we understand it, great. If we don't, well, tough shit.
I told you before, the only reason for Monday nights is to find out the way I can express it. And so when this goes on, then obviously I'm doing it, I'm expressing it wrong. So I'm asking you in all of this then, how can I express it that we don't get into this struggle? I'm not going to express it in a way that validates those opinions that are, in my opinion, harmful or invalid.
That's good to know.
I look at it like taking organic chemistry. If you don't understand it from the beginning, you're not going to understand it down the way. Anybody that's taken organic chemistry knows that that is true.
This is why we went one step at a time. Now you're complaining about the one step at a time. Because an overall picture wouldn't do any good. The overall, you wouldn't understand the overall. We have to get to a certain point before you'll even be able to understand the overall picture.
So in organic chemistry sense, if they gave me the overall picture and put up this complex carbon atom of some kind or another, I wouldn't know what on earth it meant. I have to build it up from, this is a carbon atom, and if you hook it on to oxygen, then you have this, and if you hook it on to hydrogen, you have that kind of thing. And that's what he's doing, is taking it step by step by step, but if he jumps to, here's a complex atom, you're going to sit there going, what the fuck?
Right. Well, that makes sense.
I'm afraid that I say, what the fuck, now?
But that's what he's trying to figure out, is where is it that you're getting lost and why are you fighting against it? Are you getting lost or are you just trying to make it fit into what you already believe?
Yeah, to both questions.
I would agree. I was like, just for example, just about a 2 hours ago before this call, Roger and I were talking, and I had this aha moment. I said, shit. I said, you know, sometimes I put a piece in that I want that I took out of something like traditional beliefs, and I forget that came from that context.
That's right.
So to add that thing, I've thrown this context on top of what I was just talking about, and I'm all screwed up, and I just lost in what we're saying. I can't understand why he comes back and says, that defeats you or whatever. It's like, what? How did that happen? I thought we were talking about the same thing. No, I wasn't. So that's why I thought one of the better Monday nights was several weeks ago when we said, look, we're going to be all at the same point at the beginning here. We're going to be all on the same page. Like, that's true.
No, and that's what he's trying. I never said we were. I said if we don't get on the same page, there's no reason to begin to continue.
And that's what he's been trying to do, is get everybody on the same page for weeks.
And I don't know how to do it. I can't even find a frigging word that you... There's no word I can use to discuss abiding self or as a self as a sense rather than a sense of self. You use your eyes to see. You don't talk, I have a sense of eyeballs.
No, I talk about what I see. I don't think that I am my seeing.
But if we talk about self, I don't want to get trapped in that constant struggle.
So, I mean, you know, maybe there's a fundamental concept that I've been living of, you know, of language, that there's like, I see, but I'm not my seeing. I sense, and there's an I that does the sensing that needs to be mulled over there.
But does that I have to be a ongoing, ever-present I? Can't that I?
Interestingly, no, I don't think it does. Yeah, just as an observation, when I go to sleep at night and dream, I don't feel like I'm working overly hard to hang on to an eye the way I do when I'm awake.
Well, maybe it's just in nonce time, it's I feel for this occasion.
Okay.
I see for this occasion. I hear for this occasion.
For this occasion, I sense.
Right. And everything is just in a packet.
So what if I just kind of, here's the thing, something that, I don't remember, it's just stuck with me from weeks and weeks ago on a Sunday call. It's this little simple phrase of something like, could it be that I am beyond life and death? Or somehow you say that. Something that is beyond living and dying.
But that's religion's spiritual.
Is it? Okay.
Because even if, I'm not going to pander to that.
Okay, all right.
Because I'm saying, yeah, you die. You will die. Unless you do otherwise, I'm going to threaten you.
Well, there it is!
Unless you do otherwise, not unless you get God on your side, but unless you do otherwise, you will die. Then don't you want to do otherwise?
Yeah, right.
And the point is, I can't get you all to stop thinking about the moment and present life. Then what? You say, okay, I don't want to die. But when death comes, then what? I give you an alternative and you don't want to take it. I don't understand that.
I don't even know how to express this, but I'll just give it another whirl. But there's, since there is no self to sense, is there any other way to talk about it or talk about the pronoun or the noun without, you know, that, like, is there any way to do that? If there is no self to be sensed, and we are simply...
I didn't say that. Buddha said that. I didn't say that.
I thought you agreed with that a few minutes ago.
I never said that.
Then I better go back. I thought I had said, we sense, and in the act of sensing, that is the self. There is no self to be sensed.
I don't agree with that.
Mm.
Oh, if I disagree with that, I would say I only disagree. There's no continuing self. You want a self that continues to sense.
And that's why I was talking about packets.
In the beginning, you create the self. Didn't say there was no self. You create the self that you sense.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I see.
But that's not acceptable, apparently.
Well, that's absolutely not what I heard half hour ago. I was could have sworn that there was no self to be sensed.
Well, there's no self from the past. If this is your first life or whatever, then there is no ongoing self from the past to sense. Because if
so you're saying self is an identity.
In every moment you create the self, uh-huh. and then you sense it.
Mm-hmm.
Until you replace it with the next.
I could see that. Yeah.
So there is an I spoken of.
There is a what?
An I to be spoken of.
Only as you create it in this lifetime, not a prior.
Okay, I get that. Yep.
See, there is no I until you create it.
Is it possible that the loner starter self is the I initially identify with?
I don't disagree with that. That's everything I've said. And that gives you the ability to regenerate that I or that self to be as you truly desire it being.
Okay.
So the self we are speaking of is renewing in each moment?
Yeah. Last night I was thinking about that. You remember when we did the red light, when we did Auras, the gathering on Auras, and we did the red light?
Yeah. Yes.
And the appearance of lives constantly changed under the red light.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
That was the face of your body. The lives of your body are constantly changing, just like that.
Or you could say the ones from which you are drawing at that particular moment.
That's right. So it's possible for you to sit there under the red light, for me to see the faces, the images on your body of that. Let's call those images on your face the provenance of your ancestors. And it continues, but you can't take a picture of it. The mind can see that, but you can't take a picture of it. No mechanical means could take a picture of that at all.
Mm-hmm.
So, if you remember the red light, would you say you caused that?
No, I wouldn't say that at all.
No.
But would you say it is emergent?
I guess. Yeah, I could say that.
So what is emergent?
The face.
And what's that?
The face that you see in the red light.
Under the red light.
They're
not caused, they're emergent. So I'm trying to say, talk about emergent all along. You have to take a bigger active concept of what's going on. Emergent is like a reaction that is a complement, it completes.
Oh, right, yeah.
So what are we going to do about this? We got Angela here, so be careful what you say. She sneaked in and sat down. What the hell was I doing when you sat down?
You're emergent.
And you were emergent right there.
Right, I'm emergent. New and different. Along with Trigom. Hi, everybody.
Hello.
Hi, everybody.
Hello.
Aloha.
Say it in Swiss.
Hoi tsamma.
Sorry.
So did you all hear any of the front of this conversation?
Yeah, we just turned off the phone to come in.
Well, you got any suggestions of how you're over in Thailand presenting this so everybody understands it, goes home and applies it in their life successfully? So what is it that you do that gets it across?
You want me to talk about that now?
If you've got a secret answer, yes.
Well, it would take about an hour, so I think we should do that in private and then later talk about it on Monday night.
So where is this going? Emergently or across? I want to know where it's going.
Emergent. I'm all for emergent.
Mm-hmm.
New and different every moment.
You see, you throw words out there and nobody knows what they mean. I try to find a word and even get anybody to understand what I'm talking about, and they don't. So if there's a better way to get this across, I sure would like to know. Do you have a better way or understanding of any of this stuff? Of course, Misty's got all the answers.
Oh, yeah, right.
Yay, Misty.
She's going to tell me when we walk up the road tomorrow. She'll give me all the answers back.
They call her Misty because she rains on us. Like the universe, she has the answers. The rain.
The mist.
That's what mists do. They rain eventually, don't they?
They're better than rain. They're everywhere.
Yay!
So why don't you go back to your...
Well, I'm down far enough, it doesn't really matter. So am I correct in saying you all do want to continue with abiding, and you certainly don't want to continue with a sense of self?
I'm not ready to leave it. Yeah, if I heard that correctly, I wouldn't agree. I would not agree with what you said.
You would?
And how do you want this presented?
I don't know. So I'd like more discussion of abiding and what it is that you would like us to appreciate about how you see abiding. And I'd like more discussion about the sense of selfing, or the sense as in sight. There's a sense of self. I'd like more discussion about that. What does that look like? Yeah.
But like everything else, don't you understand that you create the sense of self? You were born to hear, or you're born to see, touch, smell, taste, or all that stuff. But you have abiding self. You have to then create the sense of self.
Then so I have the capacity to create the sense of self, but I have to go ahead and do it.
Well, you do it, whether you realize it or not. And I'm just saying, why do you create a sense of self that works against you?
Hmm. good question.
Do you understand that a mountain creates its own environment?
A mountain?
A mountain.
I do understand that.
It could be crappy weather everywhere, but a mountain could create its own environment, its own weather.
Yep. Okay. Yep.
Then in the same way, then can you see that using the sense of self creates its own environment? And how you create that sense of self as abiding or loner or crap shit, it doesn't really matter. That creates the environment in which you live. Now do you understand the importance of sensing self?
Yep.
Or self as a sensing? It creates the environment for all the other senses. You see what's happening when you create and live a sense of loner. When you create a sense of abiding, everything is different. And you sense everything differently.
Okay, right. That makes sense.
So what I've been doing up until now is this is operating from the point of view of this is I can't help but who I am. I was born this way.
Big mistake.
Yeah. Mhm.
See, that's why I gave you regeneration, so that to counter that argument, you get to start over again. And to show you how it was obviously physically possible to do that with no problem whatsoever. So you get to start your life over. It's like a second coming. It's kind of like born again, as Jesus said to Nicodemus. He said, you've been born of water, now you need to be born of spirit. All I've said is you've been born of water, now you need to be born of self. The self that you were born with can regenerate you as abiding. That is, self creates you. Parents created their body, and you create yourself. And I can show you exactly how to do that, but all I get is yeah buts. We don't even get to the point of, here we are still on number 3 of 99. We only got 96 more to go. We're on 4? Okay, we're on 4. We only got 95. See how quickly we got rid of that shit?
Boy, they're just racing by.
Moving right along.
Move my right about. Right.
I even gave you authority over time. You didn't even like that. The hell can I do? I gave you non-time. Einstein took it all away and I give it back to you.
I think I never appreciated until now even what non-time was. And as the term that Misty used a few moments ago, that we actually live life as packets, not a continuous stream of stuff. It is in packets.
But even
nonce is.
Even those packets, remember, light was supposed to come in photons or energy was to come in quanta, separate little tiny quanta, and the space between the quanta is even smaller. That's not true. The quanta are like chain links that one quanta is interlinked to the next quanta. Means that allows you to live both either quantized or continuum.
Remember the rope versus the chains?
And even the chains. You can live each link or the continuum of the chain. Same thing applies to light. And every aspect of your life is the same way. But every time I bring up anything, you go back to, you see, you're going to take that as meaning. Then that means that I'm interlocked with everything else, and I'm living a spiritual life eternally from before and on into the future. That's not what I'm saying.
Well, I want to ask another question before it goes. I'd let it go too far, and I can never get it back again. Early in this telephone conversation, we talked about two things. One, you wanted to emphasize about abiding without beginning and without end. And the second concept was, this is a brand new life, never occurred before. How is that abiding? The second part, a brand new life that has never occurred before.
Without a specific beginning or specific ending.
Okay.
I modified the definition just slightly in order to cut off the yeah, but. If self is emergent, then there is no beginning or no of that.
Ah.
But you see, you use cause all the time, and so the structure of language, and you beat me to death with the structure of language, and I'm tired of it. I really am. Get the fuck off of language or I'm going to quit.
I take that seriously. So that what you just said, self is emergent. So that really illustrates that there is no specific
beginning. That's right. It's emergent.
You can't point to anything that says there.
But you see, I could solve a lot of problems if you'd even talk to me about emergent or talk to yourself about it. You won't do that. You must live with cause and effect because that allows you to judge. Yet that's stupid. I don't mind saying that either. That's stupid. Your problem is if we talk about emergent, damn it, now I don't have anything to judge. My life will go to hell if I can't judge.
Yeah, how else am I going to know the right thing, right?
Right. Well, okay, we've just wandered through that minefield. I'm ready to hang it up.
Oh, it's just getting juicy.
Okay.
So you guys ponder those things and get it straight in your mind about Nonstein, packets, abiding, all that stuff.
Shall do, Misty. Shall do.
Because we want to get on the same page and move on.
So do we. Hear, hear.
Hear, hear. All right, thanks, Roger.
Okay.
All right.
Good night
Thank
for now.
Thank you, guys.